Blog Talk Radio.
What you gonna do is good music and G-Unit.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Ladies and gentlemen, you know they mad cause I'm hood rich. You never ever seen a good trick. You want a problem? Start it up. Wait a minute.
Cotton candy shoot, cotton candy shoot. Hard knock, off in any loop, off the stoop. Play with me, see what the swammy do. My canary shoot, high beams pointing right at you. Peekaboo. Benji paper made me hit a poo. All your fame reduced. Najee twice, triple hazing goose. Got me loose. Kick my way and now I got the juice. Gucci bubble boots, 1,000 kicks, couple hundred boots. Getting flew. My top down, I'm flashing on them. I'm passing all them, pull over and hit the hazards on them. Look on them, pay my dues, now it's back to balling. The rap to boring dead man, I dip the casket for them. I'm back performing, I bag them, break their back, don't call them. Look down on them, like the Ken Bay, Patrick Morning. Cash is pouring, stunt storming, got the stuff. Camera phones capture everything
right.
The kids.
You know they mad cause I'm hood rich. You never ever seen a good trick. You want a problem? Start it up. You know they mad cause I'm hood rich. You never ever seen a good trick. You want a problem? Start it up. Wait a minute.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Monday's edition of All Subjects Everything. I'm your host, Chris Stevens. Hopefully you had a fantastic weekend and you're ready for your work or school week or whatever your business entails. If this is your first time tuning in, All Subjects Everything is an internet interactive radio show. When we are live on the air, you can call in with a question or comment at 661-554-9194. You can check us out in the Blog Talk Radio Network chat room, as a few of my esteemed listeners like to do from time to time. Or if you have any follow along via Twitter, just use the All Subjects Everything hashtag. And remember, if you can't listen to us live, we're available on iTunes. You go to the iTunes store, search for All Subjects Everything under podcast, download the shows for free. While you're there, rate us from 1 star to 5 stars. Write a little review. Let us know what you like, what you don't like, what you'd like to hear or see in future shows, and we will do our very best to accommodate you. Also, for your smartphone users, All Subjects Everything is available on the Stitcher mobile app. You can download Stitcher to your smartphone. Search for All Subjects Everything there. Take us with you in the car, the gym, the office, wherever you want to get in on the conversation. Don't forget to like our Facebook page as well, facebook.com/AllSubjectsEverything. Be sure to, once again, hit the like button because we need the likes. We're up to 83 now. We could use about 100 more or get to 100 and or however many, you know. We draw a few hundred listeners a week, so, I mean, I think a few of y'all got Facebook. Just, you know, hit the like button there. You'll find show links, news updates on what we're up to. And once again, we're trying to start a dialogue on the show page, you know, have you guys discuss certain things on status updates and poll topics and forums and whatnot. And that way we can better, you know, put this show together. Okay, so Monday and the college football playoff tree, as Charlie Brown Christmas tree-esque as it may be, is out now. And to the surprise of no one, Clemson earns the top seed, and they will battle the Oklahoma Sooners, who won the Big 12. And it didn't look good for Oklahoma early on in the season. There were you know, whispers about Bob Stoops possibly being on the way out. But here we are, and the Sooners are battling for the national championship, and they'll get an undefeated Clemson team who held off North Carolina. But really, the biggest thing about the Clemson Carolina ACC title game had nothing to do with Clemson going to 13-0. It had everything to do with a rogue punter. The kid from Clemson, they were down 14-9. They were up 14-9, pardon me. It was fourth and goddamn eternity. But for some strange reason, this kid, you know, called his own number. He said, you know what, I'm going to run for it. He got about 5 yards on 4th and 17. And Dabo Swinney, the head coach of the Clemson Tigers, let him have it. And rightfully so. At that point in the game, it's in the first half, you're only up 5. What are you doing? What are you doing? Help us understand. What was going through your mind? Clemson punter, what were you doing? And then, of course, Carolina takes advantage of the short field, scores a touchdown for their only lead of the game. But, I mean, that could have been dangerous. I mean, Clemson could have literally, you know, had their national championship hopes go down the drain because a kid says, okay, I'm just going to go from off the beaten path. And you're the punter. Like if you're Clemson, you can get away with this shit against, like, a South Carolina State or a Furman or a Citadel or somebody like that, you know, when it's one of those in-state guarantee games where, you know, all right, we just pay you guys a little bit of money to come, you know, beat you, but you'll get a good learning experience for getting your ass whooped by Clemson. But no, this is the ACC championship game against North Carolina with a spot in the final, in the NCAA football Final Four on the line, and you decide to run on 4th and 17, and you can't even make up half the yardage? What is your problem? What is wrong with you? Turns out it didn't matter because Clemson ended up winning 45-30. You know, they're unbeaten, shooting for their first national championship since the Refrigerator Perry days in 1981. And they'll play Oklahoma, who definitely has, you know, a lot to prove. You know, Clemson smashed them by 34 earlier in the season. So, here's your chance, Oklahoma. This is what redemption is all about. So hopefully you take advantage of it. And the other matchup, number 2, Alabama. No surprises there. After smashing Florida in the SEC title game, we'll play Michigan State, the Big Ten winner. And Michigan State has had a funny, funny season. And by funny, I mean solely for the Michigan game. Yeah, they beat Ohio State. That's cool. The only loss Ohio State suffered this season, but Michigan State winning the Big Ten pretty much crippled Ohio State. Ohio State wasn't going to make it anyway because Iowa would have been undefeated or Michigan State would have been one loss. It turned out Michigan State was the one loss. So with that said, Michigan State can owe their national championship shot to not a rogue punter, but a fumbling punter. We all watched the Michigan-Michigan State game. It was headed for overtime, actually. And I think Michigan was up, if I'm not mistaken. But the punter lost control of the ball. Michigan State scoops it up, scores a touchdown at the gun, and wins the game. And the Big House. One of the funniest, you know, nights on Twitter you can ever imagine. I promise you. It was absolutely hilarious. But Alabama better be careful. Because Derrick Henry has more carries at this point in a college football season than any NFL running back will have this year. I think the kid is closing in on 400 if he's not there already. He's piling up the yardage now. He's got close to 1,800 yards. I mean, he's probably going to be a Heisman Trophy candidate. I don't know if I would call him the Heisman winner as of yet, but he's got a pretty good shot of winning that. But how long does Nick Saban lean on this kid, number one, before, you know, he gives out and it costs Alabama a game, and number two, it ends his chances of a solid National Football League career? Because that's the aim for most of these kids in these big programs. The ones that you see on SportsCenter and all, making the big plays, you know, running cats over, making great catches, making great throws, hitting people. Those are the ones you're going to see on Sundays by and large. But right now, they're pretty much on a unpaid internship. Because that's what college football pretty much is, an unpaid internship. Major college football, I should say. Major college football is an unpaid internship. And with a kid like Henry, I mean, he's a big, strong kid now, 6'3", 240. I mean, he's a horse. But even horses break down from time to time. So I look at him and Leonard Fournette of LSU as two cases of What do they have to gain by playing another college game? I don't see it. I don't see it for either one of them. I mean, yeah, they'll tell you, you know, it's school pride and everything, but when you have coaches that make hundreds of thousands and in some cases millions of dollars, you know, getting all the glory, and you're the one out there busting your ass, taking all of these hits and whatnot for free 99, can be a little, you know, confusing and concerning. But this is why the NCAA, you know, this is why nobody, most of us who watch college sports really didn't give two dams about an FBS playoff, because the kids still aren't getting paid. And people will say, well, you can't afford to pay them. The NCAA makes billions of dollars hands over fist every year. So that's a crock, number one. Number two, if you can't pay the players, and I'm talking about in all sports, you can at least provide a better stipend. In most cases, most of these major college programs, I'm talking like, you know, the Big Five conferences, like, you know, Pac-12, Big 12, ACC, SEC, Big Ten, they can pay people. They can pay everybody from the damn rowing team to the football and basketball players. They can. They just don't want to, because they think it would cheapen, you know, amateur athletics. But what about the football players that possibly cheapen their lifespan, you know, by taking these hits for 13, 14 weeks out of the year without seeing a dime for it? Just something to think about. All I ask is that you use your critical thinking skills and understand that this, you know, it's not right. But, you know, just on the subject of football, if I had to pick today, it's December 7th. Wow. We're 2.5 weeks away from Christmas, golly. But, you know, we won't be watching, you know, championship games until, you know, after New Year's. But if I had to pick today, I would take Clemson to win in their game with Oklahoma. It'll be closer than 34 points, I promise you that. And I'm going to take Michigan State over Alabama. So I got Clemson, Michigan State in the national championship game, and I like Clemson to finish undefeated and win its first national championship in 34 years. So that's my pick today. Now, if one of these kids gets arrested or something or injured in the next 2 or 3 weeks, then I'll gladly, change my vote. But right now, I got Clemson and Michigan State winning, and I got the first round, I got Clemson winning the national championship. As usual, you can always find me on Twitter at CJ Starchild, or if you're, you know, aware of Twitter but really don't want to follow me, and I understand because 3,000 people already follow me as is, which I don't understand. But you can always use the All Subjects Everything hashtag, and of course you can hit us up on Facebook, facebook.com/ All Subjects Everything, and say, Chris, do you really think Alabama's going to lose to Michigan State? Yes, I do. And I'll tell you why really quickly before we move on to the next couple subjects. I really don't see Michigan State allowing Derrick Henry to beat them. Not without a fight, anyway. You know, I mean, and Alabama has receivers now, and Jake Coker has really come alive as quarterback, but I like Michigan State just a little bit more, you know, not from a toughness standpoint, not even from a talent standpoint, just from the fact that Alabama has really wrecked itself to get to the playoffs, and it wouldn't surprise me if Michigan State, you know, just wore them down. Because kids get tired. I went to a Delaware State Championship game this past Saturday. Shout out to the alma mater, Howard Wildcats, winning our first Division II state championship. And they wore St. George's Tech down. I mean, when you have the ball for 30 to 35 minutes of a 48-minute game, it's tough. So if Michigan State can hold the ball for 35 to 40 minutes of a 60-minute game, Alabama's going to get tired. And they won't have as many chances to lean on Henry or have Coker go deep down the field. So Michigan State has to play a ball control game. If they can do that, I think they'll be successful. But if you get in a shootout with Alabama, you're asking for trouble. You're asking for trouble. So I think Michigan State just controls the clock just enough to win that particular contest. Grammy nominations. I knew I said I was going to, if you read the show description, I was going to talk Christmas music. We may get to that near the end, but Grammy nominations are out now, and I think it's time for us to once again revisit the Drake Meek Mill rivalry. The Grammy nominations, you know, are pretty much what they what you'd expect them to be. But let's just go through best rap performance, and I'm going to, you know, say some things to you, and you know, I'm going to read these off to you. You guys will, you know, notice the one of these things is not like the other. Number one, J. Cole, apparently. Number two, Drake, back to back. Hit. Number three, Fetty Wap, Trap Queen. Kendrick Lamar, All Right. Nicki Minaj featuring Drake and Lil Wayne, Truthful Butter. And Kanye West with Theopolis London, Alan Kingdom, and Paul McCartney, All Dead. So, anything in particular stand out to you? I mean, Trap Queen wasn't that much of a surprise. I mean, it was the biggest record, you know, of the last 2 years, if we're being quite honest. Kendrick Lamar, you know, is probably going to win, you know, Rap Album of the Year going away for To Pimp a Butterfly, and All Right was the crowning glory, the crowning achievement of that album. Truthful Butter, yeah. If people really knew what the slang behind Truthful Butter was, like the urban dictionary definition of Truthful Butter, okay, All Day. That was Kanye, you know. And that's the part of a Kanye album that hasn't even come out yet. So give Kanye credit for staying relevant on the charts despite being absolutely Kardashian'd out. J. Cole's had a phenomenal year. No doubt about it, but Drake. Oh, Drake. Back to back. Mind you, this was a diss record. A diss record, mind you. This was one aimed at Meek Mill after Meek had absolutely, you know, gone off the rails on Twitter about Drake not tweeting his album and all of this nonsense, you know, outing him as not writing his own stuff, and so on and so on. And Drake went on the offensive like no rapper has gone on the offensive probably since Tupac back in 1995 when he got out of jail. I think it's too early to say if he ended Meek's career, but damn, he made his life difficult. And back to back was like the final warning shot. I mean, it was just like Drake showing off and telling me, you know, you really don't want these problems, but I'm going to give you these problems if you just keep acting up. Incredible. Can we remember any time in rap history that a diss record has earned a Grammy nomination? I can't think of one. I honestly can't think of one. And they say controversy doesn't sell. I say you're wrong. Because Drake really just humiliated Meek so much that Nicki Minaj has to be looking at this dude this morning like, maybe I should let him down easy. Maybe, yeah, he's probably, you know, he's probably better off without me. I know I'll be better off without him. You know, that type of stuff. But, you know, Grammy nominations are always political, regardless of, you know, what genre, what form of music you enjoy. But I'm going to be happy that my favorite new band, my favorite current band, The Internet, earned a Urban Contemporary album nomination for their third album, Ego Death. Now, they're up against some stiff competition, mind you. Let's not, you know, as much as I hate The Weeknd, I understand. Well, I don't want to say I hate The Weeknd. I just say his aesthetic is not me. Like, you know, I'm not a do drugs, you know, cavort with different women, you know, just because I can do it kind of guy. But, you know, Beauty Behind the Madness has been like the hipster album of 2015. So it wouldn't surprise me if he won that going away. Miguel's Wild Heart, pretty good album. The beautiful and talented Leanne LaHavis, Blood. Yes. I don't know who Kalani is. You know, somebody should probably clue me in on that. But I'm glad to see that a group like the Internet, you know, on the fringes of, you know, fame and, you know, popularity and all of that, and they just, you know, they make good music. They make good music without any question. And they make it, you know, from not from a, you know, a kid standpoint. These guys are, and girl, shout out to Sid, the front woman, you know, they're in their 20s and they're making, like, mature music, but it's not mature to the point where it's corny. It's mature to the point where people can relate to it without, you know, feeling like they have to sacrifice, you know, their youth and whatnot. So give them credit for making the kind of music that they want to make, staying true to themselves, but at the same time, still making it palatable for everyone to listen to. That said, I don't think, like I said, I don't think they win this category. It's just, it's not in the stars for them. A couple more before we go. Record of the year, D'Angelo. Great comeback for that man. We've talked about Black Messiah on the show before. It was a pretty good album. You know, I hope he comes out with another one, but, you know, it might take another 15 years for that one to come out. Really Love is the song that they chose for that. Mark Ronson and Bruno Mars, Uptown Funk, that's my favorite for that category. Ed Sheeran, Thinking Out Loud, Taylor Swift, Blank Space, and Weekend, Can't Feel My Face. All good choices, but Uptown Funk is one of the rare songs that you can hear everywhere and not get tired of it. That's a jam. That is a jam. And Urban and Bruno Mars and Mark Ronson deserve all the credit for that. When you make a song that everybody likes and people don't get tired of, shout out to Pharrell and Happy, you got something there. And that's why I think Uptown Funk should win a record of the year. Because it kind of sort of brought that 80s synth R&B thing back, but it was true to, you know, Bruno Mars being this energetic front man, and Mark Ronson just, you know, did the track lovely. So give those guys some credit. I think that should be record of the year. Song of the year. Of course, Kendrick Lamar, All Right. Wiz Khalifa, who got over losing Amber Rose, featuring Charlie Puth and See You Again. Those are my two favorites for Song of the Year. Could be, you know, a toss-up, I mean, because I haven't listened to Taylor Swift one lick. So if Taylor Swift ends up winning all these Grammys, I'm going to be 38 hot. But the game is the game. You know, it does us no good to complain about Taylor Swift by any stretch of the imagination. She's here. She's not going anywhere, like it or not. And I'm in the or not category. But, yeah, the Grammys are just, you know, fun to talk about. I mean, it really doesn't, you know, it validates certain people, but it just gives us something to discuss. It just gives us something to talk about, because what more, you know, what's more fun for music fans to discuss, you know, with the people who oversee the Grammys think of our favorite artists or not. So we'll definitely be watching the Grammys, but the big news for this particular show is that the Internet earned a Grammy Award for Ego Death, which we absolutely love and talk about on this show all the time. And that, I don't think that'll change now, especially now at the Grammy nomination. And from my standpoint, I just want to say that I'm glad I got to see them in Philly for $20 for my birthday, because the price of brick, word to the wire, is definitely about to go up. You know what I'm saying? Like, when you watch an artist and a group grow, it's fun, but at the same time, you know it's never going to be the same as when you first discovered them. Kind of like how I feel about Big Crit. And Crit is phenomenal. Don't get me wrong. He's always going to be dope. But the period of time when he was making stuff like Crit Was Here and Return Forever, Forever and a Day, he was, you know, he belonged to us. You know, he was like underground. You know, he wasn't mainstream. And he's still kind of, you know, getting to that status, but, you know, it was just something more pure and more hungry about being a fan of his back then. Same thing with the internet. Now the ego death has earned a Grammy. I just hope that they don't lose the sight of what made them great. And I don't think they will, but it's bittersweet. Like, happy for them, but don't want them to lose sight of what made a lot of us fans of theirs in the first place. And this is, you know, what the Grammys will bring out of you. That being said, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to All Subjects Everything. Greatly appreciate your time this Monday morning. If you miss us live, blogtalkradio.com/Chris Stevens on air, iTunes, All Subjects Everything. Same thing for Stitcher Mobile. We'll recap week 13 in the NFL tomorrow morning. So y'all enjoy the rest of your Monday, and until Tuesday, y'all be good or be good at it.
I woke up and